Membeis and Membeis, rather, getting the third line down. So, the Mishnah said that you can a Kli Rishon, even off of the fire, you can't put Tavlin into it, but you can put Tavlin into it, Kli Sheni, the Ka'ara, or the Tamchoy. Yehuda came along and said, you're allowed to put into everything except if it has Chametz and Seir. Is he disagreeing with the ratio which says you cannot? He's saying you could. And he's being makel. He's going on the ratio that the Tanakhama said you can't do anything at all. He's saying, no, you could as long as there's no Chametz and Seir. Or Dilma, maybe a Sefer Koi. He's going on the safer. The Tanakhama said, in a cliche, you're allowed to put anything into a cliche. He says, no, you can put, there's a limit to it. You can't put into a cliche something which has chametz and tzir. Or a dish which has chametz and tzir in it, you can't put in tavlin, even a cliche, the combination of the heat plus the sharpness of the vinegar or of this fish juice will cook even in a cliche, the combination of the two. But the chumra, he's going with chumra. Okay, so that's the shal, how to understand Rabbi Huda. Toshma, we have a brayser, the Tanya, we learn a brayser. Rabbi Huda, Omer, Rabbi Huda says, L'chol ilfasin hu noisin, l'chol akaderis roitzchus hu noisin, chutz mitab b'sheyesh b'chemesh v'tzir, that Rabbi Huda is going on the ratio, and saying even in ilfas, which is a clearishan, ilfas is like a frying pan, or even the kader, which is a pot, even though they're roitzchus, even though they're still heated, you're allowed to put everything in, except if there's chametz and seer in the dish. That the combination of the two. So, when it's on the fire, the Kli Rishon will cook. When it's off of the fire, Rabbi Huda holds the Kli Rishon will not cook, with the exception of if there's chametz and seer in the ingredients. Okay, see Rashi, Horesha Koi. Ilfis to Ka'asar Tanakama. He's going on the frying pan, the Ilfis, which the Tanakama said is no good. From Rabbi Huda, we'll call Ilfasim Hunoisen, the Kli Rishon, Lemon Rashal. No. He holds that you can put into any Ilfis, a Kli Rishon, when it's not on the fire anymore, no longer will cook. Okay. Adilma Asefakoi. A Ka'ara Batamchi. He's going in the case of Kara and Tamchui, the Koshari Tanakama. The Tanakama permits in the Klisheni, the Kara and the Tamchui, the serving bowl or regular plate bowl. The Tanakama says it's Mutter. Bekamalar Behuda, no. Bechol Karas, the Tamchui, Medina Lachal. I agree with you in general that that's true. Bechutu Tabash Yesh Bechametz, I feel about Klisheni, Nami Loy. But if it has Chametz in it, even in the Klisheni, you cannot put it because it will cook. Tosis comes along and says that Rabbi Huda's whole argument with the Tanakhama was in regards to Tavlin. In general, he agrees that Kli Rishon off of the fire, and we have Bryce Rabbi Huda's being matter, Kli Rishon does not cook. He says most things he agrees that Kli Rishon, even when it's off of the fire, will cook. He's just arguing by Tavlin, that Tavlin apparently have a different property. Rabbi Huda holds, and they will not cook in a Kli Rishon once it's off of the fire. I'm not sure what the logic behind it is, but that's Tosis' understanding. Okay, I'm understand why. What's compelling to us is it's funny that he should be arguing on the whole concept of Kli Rishon is mavashal off of the fire, but that's he's talking about the specific case of the Tanakhama, which was Tavlin. That was the case of the Tanakhama. Okay, new piece. Sabra Rabbi Yosef Lememer, in the back of the Gemara. Rabbi Yosef originally intended to say, Melech Hareo Ketavlin, that salt has the same halacha like Tavlin. The Kli Rishon is Bashala, it will cook in a Kli Rishon. The Kli Sheni, Lo Bashala, it can't cook in a Kli Sheni. So you're allowed to add salt into a Kli Sheni. Amalei Abaya, so Abaya says to Rabbi Yosef, Tony Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chia, in the Braisa, learned the Braisa, which said, Melech, Eino Ketavlin. salt is not like tavla. It can cook. Salt can get cooked even in a klisheni. This is the first version. The Mor says, we say that's what Rabbi Yosef said. Rabbi Yosef then would argue on Rabbi Nachman's din. That what the Amar of Nachman tzricha milcha bishula kibisa the tura. Salt is so hard to cook. It needs to be cooked. As much as you have to cook the meat of a shore. So a shore is very tough meat. So bishu the tura needs a tremendous amount of bishul. So Pashas, he's saying it would not get cooked in a klisheni. So Melach can't get, so Nachman, according to Nachman, Melach would not get cooked in a klisheni. Because Amri, some have the verse in the following way. Melach is the same as Tavlin. B'klirishin b'shola. B'klirishin ain't lo b'shola. It cooks in a klirishin. And not in a klisheni. Amalei Abaya, so Rabbi Yosef remains the same in both versions. But Abaya's point is, Tani Rabchia, Melach eno ketavlin. The klirishin nami lo b'shola. It does not get cooked even in a klirishin once it's off the fire. It only gets cooked in a klirishin when it's on the fire. And that's shot what Reb Nachman said. Tzricha milcha bishula kibisur de tura. It needs to be cooked the same level of cooking as bisur de tura, which needs is very tough meat, and that will only get cooked when it's on the fire. So melach also will only get cooked if it's on the fire. Zat Rashi, b'klirishin nami labushala. Umotzer litain fil b'klirishin mishaviroi minor. So Rashi says that according to about an Abaya, the brisa that Abaya is quoting, the second version of it, and according to Reb Nachman, the more understanding of Reb Nachman, a person would be permitted to put melach into a klirishin once it's been removed from the fire. Taisus grapples with how do we paskin. We have a general rule in Shas, we paskin like the Lishna Basra. So we have two versions of something, we paskin like the second version. So Pasha, we should paskin like the second version, that Melach is mutter to put even into a klirishin once it's been removed from the fire. Taisus says, and on top of that, the second version has the advantage of having Rebtiya, the Brisa, Rebtiya, and Reb Nachman, the Amora, agreeing. In the first version, they're disagreeing. So there'd be a preference to make them agree than opposed to make them disagree. So it brings to the Ben Shmuel Paskin that therefore you're allowed to put Melach into Tavshul, into a klirishin, once it's been removed from the fire. But the Machmer, the person's Machmer, like the first version, is Tabal of Bracha. Taisus is not saying it's conclusive totally, how to paskin. So, I'm sorry. That klal and shas that you paskin like the Lishna Basra, that's the Ben Otam's. I'm sorry. The Rosh says the one you said you pass like the Shabbasa, you use that klal. Tosfos Shita is from Rashi that by the Dibrei Torah you go after the Machmer, and by the Rabbanan you go after the Lishna Basra. So Rashi and Jolim have called Lishna Basra by the Rabbanan. By the Raisa, the Shalab of the Raisa, which you do with your Shalab of the Raisa, you follow the Shita which is more Machmer, not the Basra. So in general, Taisa says maybe you can't apply that rule over here according to Rashi. She says, but because of the other reasons that we have the price of fitting together, etc., with Reb Nachman, we're going to pass on the Lishna Basra, Mikra Din, and a person wants to be Machmer like the Lishna Kama, Tavala Bracha. If I recall correctly, that's how it's brought down in Halacha, the melech is mikra din mutter in a kli rishon once it's off the fire. And if you want to, there's a chumra to be not to do that. Does it say chumra to even to be machmir in a kli sheni? I don't think so. I don't think we're machmir in a melech in a kli sheni. Yeah, we don't pass. We're not machmir in a melech in a kli sheni. Okay, that's the end of the sugyas of Bishul. And then the rest of the parak is me dealing with the lochos of a sugya which sort of leads into the sugya of muksa, and deals with the halachah which the Morris introduced in Mem Gimel Mem Aleph of Bitzel Kli Meichoner, which is, I guess, possibly at least according to some Rishonim, it's an adjunct of the halachos of muksa. The reason why it's here, it just is because we're all still dealing with the halachos of Erev Shabbos, things you ought to do Erev Shabbos. Remember that we had, you know, the Tosis pointed out that sans the first Mishnah, which was the halachos of Yitzhah, all of the Mishnahs have been dealing with the halachos of getting ready for Shabbos still. They haven't been dealing with the halachos of... So Bishul just came into the halachos of... as a continuation of the halachos of what you're allowed to do from Shia and Chazara, so we spoke about the halachos of Bishul. But really the flow is still, in the next parak is still halachos of Hatmona, and then we get start dealing with halachos of, in the fifth parak, of what you're allowed to actually carry out on Shabbos, Behema Yotze, Behisha Yotze, but the flow is still Erev Shabbos things. So from that flow, we'll see here. We hear the Mishnah. You cannot put a keli under the oil. Some of the oil is dripping out, oil from the lamp. You can't put a keli there to catch the oil on Shabbos. If you put it there from before Shabbos, it's okay. But to put the keli there to catch the shem which is coming out, which is muksa, is prohibited. If you put it in before Shabbos, you're not doing anything wrong, and then the oil which comes out on Shabbos is not a problem. However, you can't use the oil. You cannot use the oil, whether you put the keli there from before Shabbos or not, you cannot use that oil which is coming out, because it's not considered mina muchan, which we spoke about, that the opposite of muksa is muchan. So this is not called muchan. Excuse me one second. You're aware of it. You designated for Shabbos for a certain purpose, so you can't use it for any other purpose. The purpose is the burning, which is, since it's a lach of it, you can't be mistabak min and there, because it's mechaba. So once you put that oil in there, you designate it for the purpose of, it has no other purpose on Shabbos, you can't use it. Take it off for anything else, so it becomes muksa. You can put it there before Shabbos. As the Mishnah said, you can't put it there on Shabbos.
Even if the purpose is to protect the items,
right.
Right,
still a problem. It's an interesting question. Not sure. Tirashi. Hey, listen, but Shabbos, Kli Tachas in there. You can't put the Kli under the Nair on Shabbos. The Kababoy Shemin Hamataf tape to catch the oil which is dripping out. Yishim the Shemin Muksahu. Because this oil is Muksa. Okay, so therefore what? Because Sabra, the Rashi is going to say two reasons why it would be also to do this. Number one, either the Tana holds and klinitul b'shabbos el tzarek davar hanitul. There is in the lachas of moving kalim. We've spoken about this before, but just again. So there's a gemara later on, which the more seems to indicate, you know, we sort of relate to the world of there's muksa, and then there's, you know, kalim and not muksa. That's not really true. There are different gradations of muksa, according to the gemara later on. For example, even a kli, which is, if it's not sifrei kodesh or food, possibly maybe a fork, you're only allowed to move it for a purpose. You can't just move it for no purpose at all. Gassan Aruch HaShulchan says, playing with your thing, maybe it's called a purpose. Some people hold that's a problem. You know, playing with your cutlery might be a problem of muksa, because you're not allowed to move kalim on Shabbos. Aruch HaShulchan says, if you need it to, for your nervous fidgeting, that's part of what your needs are, to do something with your fingers, that's okay. But just because the person is daydreaming, he's not allowed to daydream. And so we spoke about wear your hands on Shabbos. You can't just daydream and start playing around with something. So then there's a Tana which holds a halacha of kli can only be moved to take care of something else which is movable, which is halacha allowed to be moved. So over here, the shaman is muksa, and you're moving it to catch the shaman. So you're moving the kli to address an issue with something which is a non-movable item. So that's called, that's a problem. The Gemara actually says if that's the problem, so once you pick it up, if you have a hetzer to pick it up for another reason, then you're allowed to move it, then you can put it down wherever you want. So that's the problem. So theoretically, if you were to pick up a kli for a different purpose, so if I have this bowl in this spot, and I need the spot, an honest need, you know, I have a need, then I'll pick up the bowl. So, oh, great, I have a bowl in my hand, now I can put it down wherever I want. So I can put it down. In other words, it's not muks in the sense that I must drop it as soon as I'm finished with it. I'm allowed to put it wherever I want, so I can put it down under the shaman, according to that explanation. However, this is a second shot Rashi says, which would not allow that. Inami, kesavra also levata.
If you go back to Yoni's issue about if you want to just protect the table, let's say,
would that be a heter? Well, we're gonna talk about that and then give one aleph. Where you draw the line? I'm not aware. But the problem is, according to Rashi's second version, the second problem, it wouldn't make a difference. Inami, or alternatively, Kesavra, the town of the Mishnah holds, also the Batzal Kli Mehil Chanoi. By putting the kli in a place where, by doing so, you must leave it there. You have a certain sense in mevata the kli from its usage. It's now no longer usable as a kli. It becomes stuck in a spot. So putting it under the catch oil, which is muksa, so we're also about to kli meichonai. The hayshim kli memakam shal yuchol oyed litloi misham. That you can't put it in a place where you can't take it from there anymore. What's wrong with that? What's the issur of mevata kli meichon, right? So Rashi, two Rashis. Rashi over here says one reason. Rashi in the Megillah also says a different reason. Rashi here says the problem is tavi ki kavei loy mokim umechaber betit medami the malacha. It's almost like you attach the kli to the spot. So there's, the bit of kli meichon is a problem of it's a derabanan dika binyan. You're placing it somewhere. Once it catches that oil, which is muksa, you can't move it anymore. That's the second version. Well, we'll see both of these Pshatim Rashi took out of the morning and give them an aleph. Okay, there's different gradations of muksa. So something which is muksa gomer, there's no way to move it at all. Eitzim, avonim, there's no way to move it. Something which is muksa machmas, chasarin kiss, there's no way to move it. Then the next step up is kalim, but they're klisha menata le'isr. So then the mutter to move them, the tzarf gufa, the tzarf makarma, if you need to use it for a heter purpose or you need to use the place, so you're allowed to move it. You can't move it for some other function. You can't move it for its needs or something like that, right? That's klishim not the leser. Then there's kelim shem not the leheter, which are mutter, the sarach kufa, the sarach mekaymai, and the sarach atzmam to say to protect them. That's also mutter, but you can't move it for no purpose at all. And then there's erklim and the sifrei kodesh, which you can move for any purpose at all. Broken glass, well, there is nerlud. I mean, nerlud clicks in somewhere. The pashas nerlud, the point of nerlud is now it's a muksagomer because it has no usage. Or in this state of being that it was never designated for usage. It's not a keli anymore. And we'll see cases where it becomes a new type of keli. We'll see, you know, where it's no longer has its primary original usage, but has a different usage. Is that what status that has? But shemen is once it's been designated for there's a mukso called mukso machmas iser. We'll talk about later on. We get four blot of mukso, so there are three blot plus of mukso. I wouldn't say it's one of the primary. There's a few muksa comes up a few places in Shabbos. Muksa is probably one of the largest sugyas in the Sefer Shabbos. It comes up a lot. There's muksa machmasis, or something which is designated for usage in Shabbos, which now prevents it from being used for anything else. So that's a muksa. That's a very chamer type of muksa. In the sense of you put it into the kli, you can't take it out for any other reason because then it's bechava, so you basically were mistake the instruments. I'm not planning to use this for anything. So Rabbi Huda holds that's a muksa gomer and that's it. There's no way to use it. Rabbi Shimon holds that while the kolzman is being derelict, you can't move it because you definitely were maksa das for that. But Rabbi Shimon holds that you had it in mind when the oil, if the lamp goes out and there's any oil left over, you want to use the oil. That's what the case of Rabbi Shimon, lest they muksa. There was that idea that I'm totally forgot about it and just walked away from it in my mind. That's not true. I have Dasar in the back of my mind. So once it goes out, I can use it according to Rishon. the right way Rashi at least is explaining right now, you're dealing with potentially Rabbi Yehuda. For sure, this is true. That idea of Rav Shimon, that once it goes out I can use it, doesn't mean once it tripped out I can use it. I mean, once the nair goes out, I have das for the oil which is left over in the nair. But whatever happens, if some oil dripping, would not, even like Rav Shimon would be muk, so calls mom, the nair is lit. But according to Rav Yehuda, it will remain muk for the rest of Shabbos. So according to Rav Yehuda, definitely you have this idea of it's going to be kevei and mukum. That's it, this keli is here, stuck here the rest of Shabbos. There's no way to move that keli. Shemin is muk machos gufay at this point in time, total muk, so you can't move it at all. Mutal and Nicha Shom, you're allowed to put it there from before Shabbos. So it says the Lashon, it's not even, it's Lashon Mutal, sounds like, you know, it's like a bit of Yavid Lashon, it means you're allowed to Chatkila, go put it there. Avei Nashon Hemenu, Nehenu, you can't be, Nehenu, you can't be, you cannot benefit from the oil, you cannot use the oil in any way, even though it dripped out of the Nair, on Shabbos. Okay. Omer of Chista. So the first part of the discussion over here is, the first part of the discussion is dealing with the not the muksa part so much as dealing with this issue of when you're allowed to put kalim in a way that they're going to become compromised in their usage. Amar of Chista. Abba Bisha Amar Ein Noisim Kli Tachas HaTarnagolus Tachas Karnagolus L'Kabavitzasi. So the egg which is born on Shabbos, strangely enough, is called Noilim. Right? So it's muksa. So I'm afraid that this if the tarnagolus is sitting right now in a place which is it's honest land, I'm afraid that the egg is going to roll. And that's the end of the egg. So I want to put a kli there that when the tarnagolus lays the egg, it'll go into the kli. So you can't do that. Okay. So that's also. You're allowed to move a kli on top, put a kli on top of it, So in other words, don't tell me the problem is you can't, because really you're moving a kli now for the tzarech of someone which is not movable. You're moving the kli to protect the egg, which is muksa. So Rashi is saying, don't say that that's osur. That's not osur. Like Rashi, in other words, Rashi's first explanation of the Mishnah is not the pshat. Rav Chisda says the problem is you're meaning about the kli mechonos. You can't put a kli on the bottom, because then the egg falls into the kli. That's it. The kli is stuck there. But to put a kli on top is mutter. Okay, that's the first way to understand. That's what Rav Chisda says. So that, so comes along Rabba. Rabba says, no, I want to tell you a different pshat in Rav Chisda. Amr Rabba, my time at Rav Chisda. This is what Rashi explains. Rav Chisda, the Parshat Taitra Rav Chisda. Rabba comes along and says, my time at Rav Chisda. Kesover, Tanagirlis, Asuya Lahatol Beitzosa Ba'ashpa. Ve'en Asuya Lahatol Beitzosa Ba'mokam Madrid. This scenario that we're having, that it's laying its egg on a piece of ground which is on the slant, which where it's going to roll away, as opposed to an ashra which is flat or has other things around which will catch it. That's more common. On the other hand, an ashra was people would go there to throw things out, etc. So you needed to cover the egg with a kli to protect the egg that shouldn't get stepped on it inadvertently, and then that's the end of the egg. So you're allowed to move the kli to cover the egg because of the hatsola element of saving the egg. So chazal were matir the hatsola element of saving the egg. So in other words, the rabbi is understanding Rav Chisda saying, no, a kli cannot be moved for a purpose, something which is not movable. However, chazal were matir to save the egg. But they only had sala matsuya hitiru. Hatsala shena matsuya lo hitiru. See, he learns, Rabbi learns, the only problem is moving a kli for the purpose of a non-movable item. So you're moving the kli for the egg. But chazal were matir hatsala. When were they matir hatsala? In the average case. The average case was in the ashma, which meant the issue where there was covering it. The average case was not in the case of madrin, where the issue was catching it. So it wasn't interesting covering and catching inside of it. The difference between how often this is going to happen, that we have a need to be matter the Isser, this Isser. So if it's our matter the Isser, according to Rabbi, the only problem is it's davar nitzel. You're moving it for something which is not movable. But because our matter, and it's atzol and matzuya, and it's all shen and matzuya, they were not matter. Esay Abai. I don't know. I hear what you're saying. I don't know enough about how the economy then to say whether that's a correct assumption or not. I don't know. I mean, assume so, but I don't know. You know. They lived in an impoverished type of economy. I don't know how valuable an egg was. I can tell you a story. Rashiva told us a story when he was in learning in Tells. So he came from America. So, I mean, they weren't rich in any stretch of the imagination, but, you know, he was American family. They were making it. Came to Tells, so they had a dining room there, but you could pay for the food. I don't know how it worked exactly. I couldn't ever. First morning for breakfast, he got an egg. And he realizes is that he's the only person in the dining room of 450 bachurim eating an egg.
What do they have?
They have bread.
No, but why did they have the egg?
No, they didn't have eggs. I'm not sure exactly how it worked, but you could ask the person to get you an egg, and you paid him, he would get you an egg. So the guy got him an egg. That was it. You know. So that was the end of his egg eating for the rest of his stay in Tells in Europe, at least, you know, while he was eating in the dining room, the situation. So I don't know what type of economy they lived in, how valuable an egg was. Okay. Yeah. Right, but Rabbi is looking at that's not the issue. Rabbi is looking at the only issue is you're moving the kli. There is not the second problem that Rashi brings, which the more Gimel and Aleph says. The problem over here is the problem is you're moving a kli for the purpose of taking care of a muksa item. So he says. So then, even a tam should be a problem. No, chazal matter. That's all. So what's the difference? The difference is. The covering was a much more common need than the catching it. But Sola Shen Masuya Lohitiru, they were not matar at Sola in a scenario which is uncommon. I'm going to prove to you because they were matar at Sola even in a situation which was uncommon. But Tanya Linda the Bryson Nishbeloy Chavishal Tepel Beresh Gaga. So he had a barrel. Which had the table, had wine which was tevel. Tevel is muksuk, because you can't use it on Shabbos. You can't be mafresh, trumas and maizes on Shabbos. Tevel becomes muksuk. And it broke, so you want to save your wine. So what do you do? But whatever keli you're going to do is be moved to catch wine, which is muksuk. The lacha is. Maybe kli u'minyach tachter. You're allowed to put a kli under to catch it. Now the barrel breaking, just breaking like that was not a common thing. The barrels, their barrels were fairly sturdy. So Morris says no. The answer is begolfi chadati deshkichi the paki. It was a new barrel, and new barrels would break fairly commonly. So that's called Hatzolah Mitzuya in the sense of we look at new barrels as its own category because they would break fairly commonly until they had been used a few times, something of that sort, and that they were matter. Okay, Esvei, our Mishnah. No, the Mishnah later on, it's the Mishnah later on Mem Vavam Mebeis. Mem Zayin of a base. Sorry, what? So that's the kasha. In other words, Zakhar, why don't you consider catching the oil from the land? Hatzolah, which is permitted. Tosis says, interestingly enough, that the normal derech was to put a kli there from before Shabbos, and therefore needing to move a kli to catch it on Shabbos was considered Hatzolah Shein Metsuya. Now, why was it the normal derech to put a kli there before Shabbos? My guess would be not because of a halachic issue, because then you're a catch 22 situation. My guess would be because since it was oily, whatever it is, you wanted to have a kli in place before the thing started to make sure it didn't get anything dirty. So the normal derech was to take care of that before Shabbos. So that's a call that even though it might be a common thing, the need to move a kli for it on Shabbos was uncommon, that for Chazal would not matter it. Since it would because I would bring matter an issue of a muksa, so they said, "Well, we matter because we need to." Well, in this scenario, they did not need to do that because most people would take care of it in an alternative way, by putting a kli there from before Shabbos to catch it. So Chazal did not see a need to be matter to move the kli on Shabbos because that didn't happen too often, as opposed to, according to this understanding of Hatzolah Mitzuya. Right. But on the other hand, you didn't put a kli under them to catch them in case they broke. You would run and catch it with a kli when it happened. Tosha is telling you a fact. It's not saying a halachic issue. We're saying next to it, this happens all the time.
more material, right? A barrel contains more than a lamp, and we don't do anything about it.
You're asking me a socioeconomic issue now. Why do people do that? I don't know. So it's, just, it's not a halachic issue. The reason I didn't say that is because there's a halachic problem, therefore they put it there before. It says the practice was it was oily, it was messy, it happened every week, every single day of the week you had your lamp, you put a kli under the catchet. So there was a kli there before Shabbos, right? Right, it didn't take rocket science to figure that out. A kli broke once in a while. Your wine, it broke off and enough that you need to take care of it. But you didn't always have a thing there to catch it. It wasn't like it's all of a sudden, bam, it happened. So when it happened, you run to catch it. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Okay, anyway, nice and kli tachas and near the kabel in the tzitzis. So the Mishnah says later on, you're allowed to put, if you see that there's little sparks flying out from the lamp, you're allowed to put a kli there to catch the nitzotzes. The nitzotzes are considered muksa. So you're moving the kli to catch nitzotzes, which are muksa. Some more answers. Nitzotzes not mishkichi. That was a fairly common issue. Nitzotzes says, gevald in the veld. So apparently it wasn't as common as the problem of the oil being dripping. Otherwise, probably we have a kli there to catch the nitzotzes before Shabbos. So, okay, Zach Rashi, let's see Rashi. The more it goes along with a few more along these lines. I know you're going next. Tosfos asked the kasha. You should feel good at least. Okay, Avishamer ain't nice and kli tachas. Avishamer ain't nice and kli tachas. The tanugel to kalvitzas because shehi matilasim b'makom magen. He was putting it there in it. And it was laying it on the side of a slope. Because you can't put the kli there to catch it. Why would you want to do that? Shemeth is called because it might roll away. But the shomer and break. But you could the masnisen shemina lay. Rav Chizkiya said this is a fact. The fact really is there's no, it's not a price anywhere. It's derived from our mission. Right, the Dami Lenoisin Kli Tachas and Ner Lekal V'Shemen. He held this was comparable to the case of putting a Kli to catch the Shemen. But Al Kevra Le Kli, you're allowed to move the Kli. But Tame Ain Kli Nitzel El Tzar Tavra Nitzel. And don't tell me there's a problem. You can't cover it even with the Kli because you can't move the bowl to protect an egg, which is a non-movable item. That's not true. So Rava says, why do you have to say this? Because the issue is, Hatzola, normally they would lay their eggs in the Ashma, but Yeshnocha Shema Tishavar Baragli Adam, Bechefal Akli. In Ashma, people would be bringing things there to throw out, etc. The egg might be damaged. You're allowed to protect it. That was a common issue. But Solomatsuya Tiru, the Talta Kli the Tzarchab. We permitted for a common need to move a Kli to protect it. Even though the Beya is not Nitzel B'Shabbos, they were Matur Hatzol Matzuyah. Right. Shem Matzuyah and Madrin, the case of Madrin, or Batitsu, the Shem and the Masnis, in the case of needing to move a Kli to catch the oil of the Mishnah, that they weren't Matur. Mishnah Chavish Al Tamil Gassinin. So Rashi says the case is they had Chavish Al Tamil, which is Muksa, maybe Kli, Abagab, the Tamil, Dabashena, Nitzelhu, even the Tamil is something which is Muksa. Chavish, Lashchicha, the Paki, barrels don't normally pop. So Rashi says Golfi Chavish, it was Golfi is an Aramaic word, another word for Chavish, which we knew, which do pop. There's a kli masnisin. It's the mission later on. Moshe le minon is asking from the mission. Nitzaitzis shall hevis and a tevis min a ner. If you have a piece of the flame which flies out of the ner, you're allowed to catch it. Kadesh lo yidalik mashatate in order that you protect that which is beneath it. It shouldn't burn. Rabbanav nitzaitzis lo mitaltali. Nitzaitzis are not. Movable, they're muksa, and malo shkichi, and it's not shkich, that's more assumed in the kasher, and so you're allowed to do that. So more said, no, they are shkichi. Okay. Aesvet. You know what? Let's hold it.